Wonderful. Wonderful. Good morning.
Morning.
It's great to be in Bolton. Come on. The sun was shining when I left Solihull, and then I arrived at Bolton. But it's still great to be here. Absolutely fantastic, and great to have members of my family with me, which is wonderful. I've got my oldest daughter, Elena. She has just come back from Crete, so, and she's had a fantastic time there with her fiancé, Dan. They get married in July. So that's good. So wonderful. I'm about to be an in-law. Hopefully I'll not be an outlaw, but about to be an in-law. So that'll be interesting. A whole new world. Goodness me. And then my son here, my only son. I have two daughters and a son. And this is Simeon, and he is 18 years of age. Good drummer. And I love him very much. And he's just traveling with me today, looking after me, make sure I tell the truth. And whatever illustrations I use, they are factual. So it's just an absolute joy. Dawn, my wife, is at home and with our youngest daughter, Beth Ann. She is 14, going on 35, and she's great. And then we have our sausage dogs. We're famous sausage dogs. And so our boy sausage dog's called Pepperoni, and our girl sausage dog is called Salami. And I'm not making that up. That's their real names. And so it's a great joy when you're taking them out for a walk and you're calling their names. It's very interesting. You get some interesting looks. Wow, it's Pentecost Sunday, which, if you are brand new to church, you're a visitor here today. So what's that? Well, it's a celebration that we do as Christians when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, empowering the church to do the work that Jesus wanted it to do. Many of us in this room have not only had a dynamic, real experience with Jesus Christ, in that he has changed our lives in a really dramatic way, but also we've had an incredible experience with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit has come and now filled us, empowered us, and enables us to do the sorts of things that Jesus originally saved us to do. So God loves each one of us. He wants the best for us. He steps into our world to save us because we are in need and we need to be saved. But he doesn't just save us. He then wants to transform our lives so that actually we go into our world and reflect him. We show him to our world. And actually, what's amazing is he doesn't just send us into the world and say, right, go and reflect me. But he gives us the power to do that. He actually helps us to do that. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And I want to read some words of Jesus by way of introduction to this talk this morning. And it's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So if you're a new person in the room and maybe you don't have a Bible, don't worry, I'll read this to you. If you want to follow it and you've got one of these Bibles, it's page 1092. And we've got some Bibles here. Anyone like a Bible? Just wave your hand at us and we will help you with that. We won't throw them at you because they're quite heavy. And you might die before you get to read one. So that wouldn't be good. So wonderful. 1092 if you want to follow this reading. For those of you who have been maybe Christians or followers of Jesus for a while, you'll know where we're going. So you can help us with this. So it's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, those are pretty significant words in the context of our experience as followers of Jesus. One of the things that makes those words really, really noticeable is that they are the last recorded words of Jesus to his gathered community, his church. Now, all the words of Jesus, of course, are important. So whether Jesus says words at the beginning, the middle, or the end, they're all important. And as followers of Jesus, we take those words really important. But what's striking to me as someone who has studied the life of Jesus is that this is the last thing he says before he goes, before he ascends back to heaven. And that's a bit significant, right? Because, like, this is the last time face to face we have a recording of Jesus speaking to his friends, to his disciples, to his followers, what we would call today his gathered church. And these are the words he gives to them: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, he's already given them some teaching and insights into the Holy Spirit in terms of what he will do for them and how he's going to help them. But he wants to absolutely get their attention. And he said, yeah, I'm about to send you into your world, into your Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And there's stuff I want you to do, but actually I want you to have the same power that I had in order to do what God called me to do. See, back a little bit earlier in the life of Jesus, before he begins his ministry, he stands in a river about to be baptized. And I know there's a baptism service coming up here in a couple of weeks' time. Jesus literally standing in the river about to be baptized. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And then it says he goes out and ultimately does his ministry. He stands in a little synagogue and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me too. And we have this pattern. Here's Jesus that we would regard as God in flesh. He doesn't do his ministry. He doesn't go into his world and reach that world for God until he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he's given his followers exactly the same sort of pattern. He's saying, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to go to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, but I want you to go like I went. I want you to go with power in your belly. I want you to go with the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable you to do that. Now, that was 2,000 years ago, but as Dave already said, we believe that the same Holy Spirit who fell on Jesus in the River Jordan, the same Holy Spirit who fell on those early disciples in the very next chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. The same Holy Spirit who helped Jesus raise the dead and who raised Jesus from the dead. The same Holy Spirit who helped the disciples go from the fringe of the Roman Empire to the heart of the Roman Empire in 30 years is the same Holy Spirit in this room right now. And it's nothing to do with what we feel. It's nothing to do with what we even experience. It's to do with an understanding that this is God's promise to the church. That actually he says to his church, his people, his community, I don't just want you to go into the world. I want you to be full of my power to do it. And whether you are 12 or whether you are 82, it makes no difference. The Holy Spirit is for you. Whether you have been a Christian 30 seconds or you've been a Christian 30 years, the Holy Spirit's for you. Whether you're a man or a woman, the Holy Spirit's for you. Whether you are on staff in the bridge or a volunteer in the bridge, the Holy Spirit's for you. Whether you're a visitor or whether you're hardcore, locked and loaded partner of the bridge, the Holy Spirit is for you. Whether you're black or you're white, the Holy Spirit is for you. Whether you're male or you're female, the Holy Spirit's for you. Young or old, the Holy Spirit's for you. There's no differentiation. And in fact, Jesus wants us to have hearts that are open to the power of the Holy Spirit. And this church is a church that believes in the active presence of the Holy Spirit in the 21st century. Though we thank God for the amazing stories that we have in the Bible and we can look back on them, we believe that the Holy Spirit still wants to write stories today. Yes. Amen? He still wants to change lives today. He still wants to impact Bolton in the way that he impacted Jerusalem. Yeah. He wants to impact our world. That video we saw, what an amazing thing. He wants to impact those kids on those streets, not just with care and social action, but with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to transform their lives. Yeah. You see, being a Christian is a supernatural experience. We serve a supernatural God. We have a supernatural mission. And although there are practical and normal and physical elements to all of that, actually at the heart of this experience, it's supernatural. And if we're going to serve a supernatural God in his world, we need supernatural power. Amen? Because we don't just convince the world with an argument. We demonstrate the love of God with his power and with his Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus did. That's what he asked his gathered community to do in the book of Acts. And that's exactly the same thing he's asking me and you to do today. Yeah. That actually we would go into his world, touch it, but that we would go with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you're nervous about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you think, well, the Holy Spirit, will he do something weird to me? Will he, hurt me? What is this Holy Spirit? And actually, the Holy Spirit is a person who wants to impact and empower your life so that through you, your world sees Jesus. He's not here to hurt you. He's not here to make a fool of you. He's not here to embarrass you. He's not here to make you into somebody you're not. He's here to help you be the person that God called you to be. Amen? And so when Jesus is leaving, his last words are, you'll receive the power. Make sure you get the power of the Holy Spirit. And for a couple of moments this morning, I want to talk about that power. Why it's important to me and you in the 21st century world. I think the power of the Holy Spirit is important because it's a power that enables us to be. The power to be. The Holy Spirit wants to help me and you as we move forward in Him. Listen to these words of Jesus. He says this. This is a little bit earlier on in this story. He says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor. Some translations have Comforter. To be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I love this picture of the Holy Spirit. It's this idea that the Holy Spirit literally comes alongside us to help us. He literally stands by our side to empower us and help us in the journey that we're making. I love that about God. God doesn't just sit in heaven and issue edicts to me and say, you get on with it. But actually, here's Jesus saying, in the stuff that God's going to ask you to get on with, He is going to send you someone just like me, who will stand beside you, walk with you, and help you to do everything you want to do. Amen? Amen. What an incredible God we have. That actually He wants to help us in our being. He wants to empower us in our being. I enjoy running. Now, when I say I enjoy it, I know it's good for me. I don't know if you've seen, the adverts for the fact that there's going to be a fun run today or a fun run tomorrow. Actually, that's a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? Fun and running all in the same sentence. It doesn't really work. But I sort of enjoy running because I know it helps me. And when I'm, in agony as I'm running, I'm thinking, this is good for me. At least that's what experts have told me. This is a good thing, and it's helping my body. But when I was younger, in my teen years, I was a serious runner and was involved in a running club and, would travel all over the country running and representing my club and all of that sort of stuff. And we would run on the track in the summer, but then we would run on the roads or cross country in the winter. And cross country was really brutal because you'd be up and down and in and out and running through mud. And so the whole strengthening and the stamina thing was really important. And to help us build our stamina, they would take the young boys to a certain hill in North Belfast. The hill was about 400 meters in length, and it started with a slow curve, and then the gradient got really, really steep. And the idea was that they would take us to this hill and we would run up it. Then you're a runner. That's what you do. Okay, absolutely. But then they would make us run up this hill 6 times. But they would make us sprint up the hill. So you would sort of start with a gentle jog. You would hit a certain part. And then you would be asked to sprint up this hill. And not just to the top, but you had to sprint as hard as you could about 10 meters over the top of the hill. Are you getting this? Okay. You feeling my pain already? All right. Now, the first time, of course, you just go for it. And the coach would be sort of standing halfway up the hill, screaming at us, shouting at us and encouraging us. And we would go for it. And of course, then we would get to the top and we would jog right round the circuit and then come back to the hill. And of course, your brain is just going overtime. I've got to do this again. And so the first time you do it, you're feeling pretty fresh. Coming round for the second one, you're going, right, this is number 2 of 6. And then you do the third one and you go, goodness gracious, I've got three more of these to do. And I want to tell you, it got harder and harder and more painful each time. But here's what happened. The coach, when we did the first one, he would start off by standing up the hill and sort of encouraging us forward. But then as we got to number four or five, the coach would actually join us on the run. So instead of standing up the hill and saying, come on you, run, move, lift your legs, he would literally come alongside us and literally jog with us, then increase the pace with us. And every time the pace increased, he would be speaking to us, talking to us all the time. Come on, come on, bit faster, bit faster. And actually, there was something magical took place. In the midst of our exhaustion, when you've got someone running with you, who's speaking to you, encouraging you, and also almost, to use an expression, pacing you, you're almost then encouraged to keep up with them and move with them. I mean, there were moments that I felt like telling them to shut up. Do you know what I mean? But actually, it was amazing. Now, could I have done those six runs on my own? Possibly and probably. But the last two were made significantly easier because he came alongside me and ran with me. It's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. Planet Earth is a difficult place to live. Maybe not in Bolton, but it is in Sully Hall, all right? So it's pretty difficult to live. There are some amazing challenges emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually that you are facing at multiple levels every single day. It's a pretty tough call just to survive planet Earth, never mind be successful and make an impact. And God doesn't expect you to survive planet Earth on your own. That's good news. He's actually sent someone just like Jesus. We may not be able to see him. Sometimes people say we can feel him. But actually he sent someone just like Jesus, who's not just standing at the top of the hill shouting at you to run faster, but he gets down at the bottom of the hill with you and he runs with you. He will encourage you. He will stand with you. He will speak life and power and encouragement and authority into your life. So that actually in the midst of your challenges, in the midst of the life that we're trying to live, we are empowered by the one who comes beside us. Wow. And the Holy Spirit, he's not an it. He's a he. Yes, he's not a weird force who appears and disappears like the smoke we had earlier on the stage. He's a real person who will really run alongside you if you have the courage and the openness, and dare I say it, the humility, to say, I need some help. It's okay to say that, you know. We all need help. And sometimes my friends have criticized me. People, you know, when I was a young Christian, they'd say, well, you're a Christian because you need a crutch. Well, of course I do. Don't just need a crutch. I need a foundation. I need a whole makeover. I'm not clever enough to make life work first time around. I'm not. Actually, I need God's help. I was reading this morning in Proverbs that wisdom is what builds the house. Well, what wisdom? My wisdom? No, God's wisdom. Inviting God into the equation of my world. Saying to the Holy Spirit, will you run with me? Come on, will you run with me? I need your help. I'm not tough enough and hard enough and brave enough on my own, as we heard already this morning. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has come to help us be. Secondly, the Holy Spirit has come to give us the power to do. I love this. God doesn't just ask me to do something, but God actually gives me the power to do it. That's an amazing thing. I mean, I'm a man, so I'm automatically at a disadvantage. Because I don't read instructions. Any men in the room with me? You know, you just go with the flow. Just well, let's just see if we can work this out. Let's just try this. And I'm terrible at stuff like that, where I get excited and I just want to get on with something. And so if I get something new, let's just have a go. And obviously with having kids around you, if it's anything to do with technology, just hand it to an 8-year-old and they'll work it out for you. I'm stuck and they'll fix it without even knowing what it is. It's incredible. But actually, the danger is we just think we can do that without reading the instructions. And I remember when I moved across from PC, I had a PC laptop, and I moved across to Mac. And people were warning me, if you go from PC to Mac, it's like a different world. And they were, you've got to brace yourself for the moment. And it's all different. I'm getting a bit freaked out by this. How hard can this be, sort of to move across to a different operating system? And so I took the plunge, and I got my Mac. We got started. And one of my friends said, look, just have a go. Mac's design, you just have a go and work stuff out as you go. And I thought, okay, we can do that. And so one day I was with my friend, who I called my Mac master. And he was there, and he was watching me do something. Isn't it nerve-wracking when you're working and someone's watching you? Yeah. Get off. If you've got something to do, clear off. And so I'm there on my laptop doing something. And he said to me, why did you do it like that? I said, why did I do what like what? He said, well, you did this. Why have you done that? Well, that's the way I do it. And he just went like this. He hit one button. And the button did this thing for me. And I said, how did you do that? He said, just hit that button. And I didn't know that button did that. So I'm doing this thing, taking, forever to get to where I need to go. And he just went, button, hit that button. And that's all you need. And actually, isn't life a little bit like that? Honestly, I don't want to offend anybody in Bolton, but aren't we a little bit stupid sometimes? Aren't we? We think we're really clever. Some of us in this room struggle to wire a plug, and yet we think we know how the universe works. Seriously. And that's just a bit odd to me. That a human being who struggles to do a simple task somehow thinks they know how the universe works and how God works and how life works. And you know what? I think one of the things at the heart of a dynamic relationship with the Holy Spirit is humility. If you think you can make life on your own, you don't need the Holy Spirit. It's cool. Just knock yourself out. Have a go. Wire the plug yourself. See what happens. Boom. Oh, I must have put the wrong wire in the wrong bit. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And actually, when it comes to life, Jesus said, don't do it without the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you in truth. He'll walk with you. He'll direct you. He'll instruct you. He'll fill in the blanks for you. But in order for him to do that, you've got to let him. If I'd have said to my friend, hey, clear off, leave me alone, I'm having fun with my Mac on my own, and I'd refused his finger pressing the button moment, and actually I would have never have learned something. I'd have never got something. The changing point moment of my life as a Christian in relationship to the Holy Spirit was recognizing this. I need him. I mean, it's as simple as that. If you think you can make it just work on your own, if you think that you can do whatever it is you're called to do or think you want to do without the power of the Holy Spirit, then go ahead. It's your choice. It's your life. It's free will, and you're allowed to do that. But actually, Jesus says, if you really want to do the stuff that God wants you to do, you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And I would even say that actually, if we want to do life well, consistently well, we need the wisdom and genius of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. A guy called Benny Hinn wrote a book a number of years ago, criticized for certain elements of that, but I loved the title of it. The title was very simple. He just said, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I loved the simplicity of that, because here's what he was saying. Every day you wake up, invite the Holy Spirit into your world. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I'm going to face stuff today, and I don't even know what it is I'm going to face. I'm going to be asked questions at work today. I'm going to face complex situations. I'm going to have to deal with this relationship and that relationship. I've got unchurched and lost friends in my world, and I want to reach them. Yeah. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't invite him in, then generally he doesn't come. And here's what Jesus is saying to the disciples. Don't go to Jerusalem without him. Stay here till he comes. Make sure you get him, or he gets you, and make sure you have what you need before you go. Come on. He wants to be your friend. He wants to step into your world. Some of us may think he's a force and a net and a cloud, but actually he's just like Jesus. It's just we can't see him. We don't experience him in the way that the disciples experience Jesus, but his presence and power and reality is just the same. Amen? You're with me? So he gives us the power to be. I think he gives us the power to do. I think thirdly, he gives us, as it were, the power to give. So the power to be, the power to do, now the power to give. You see, our world needs the supernatural resource of God. What our world doesn't need is another argument. What our world doesn't need is more information. What our world needs is a demonstration of God's presence on the earth. Now that, we believe as Christians, words accompany that. We believe that words are powerful. We believe that words, in fact, God's truth is the means ultimately of transforming the heart and the mind of any individual. So we need God's words and we need God's truth. So do not hear what I'm not saying. But actually, if that's all we've got, then we're one argument amongst many in the world. Actually, what Jesus wants his church to do is demonstrate God to his world. Give God to his world. Amen? Yeah, yeah. And that's a powerful, powerful issue. In 2003, the American equivalent to the Antiques Roadshow did a bit of an appeal. And they did a nationwide appeal. And they said to people, here's what we want you to do. Check your outhouse. Check your attic. Check your basement. If there's anything in your world that looks remotely like an antique, why don't you let us have a look at it? Put it online, we'll have a look, or give us a call, and someone will be out to see it. There was a lady in Boston, Massachusetts, thought, I'll have a go at this. She checked all her world, nothing there. Last place to check was her attic. So she went up to the attic, and there, lying beside the rafters in a golden frame, was this picture by a 19th century American impressionist who didn't really sell many pictures when he was alive. But he became really sexy in the sort of 1990s and 2000s, and everybody wanted his paintings. And so this lady didn't even know who this guy was, just looked at this painting. It looked sort of antique. In fact, when she checked, the painting had sat in that exact position for 60 years. Hadn't moved. Just lay there in the attic. And so she thought, well, it looks like an antique. I'll give it a go. And so she went downstairs, phoned the show. And the auctioneer, a guy called John McInnes, he said, describe the painting to me. So she described it. He said, what's the name on the painting? And she read it out to him. And he sort of went quiet. And he said, I'll be out as soon as possible. Don't go anywhere. And so he arrived at her house, he looked at this picture still in its original frame, and he just salivated with excitement, essentially. They took that painting and on the 7th of December 2003 sold it at an auction for over $1 million. Now, here's the point of that illustration. Check your basements, right? Go home before you have lunch, climb into the attic. If there's anything that looks remotely like that, go to the Antiques Roadshow and give me 10% cut, okay? So make sure you include me. But you know what I mean? Now, here's the genuine point of that illustration. She was sitting on wealth. She didn't know she had until someone pointed out what she had. Peter and John walked past a man begging at the temple gate, and they said to him, "We don't have what you want, but we have something you need." Come on. We don't have what you want, but we have something you need. You want silver and you want gold, because at your level, that's the answer to your problem. And it was an important answer to an important problem. The man was poor and he needed money. Hey, we all get that. But actually, Peter says, that's not your problem. Your problem is not the fact that you're poor. The problem is not the fact that you need money. Your problem is much deeper than that. And I've got the answer to that problem. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're called to be good, we're called to minister to people, and we're called to feed the hungry. If that's all we do, we're not going far enough. We're not just called to feed the hungry, we're called to change the world. We're not just called to give the poor some wealth, we're called to change the life of the poor. We're not just called to be good, but we're called and anointed to change. And actually, to do that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Anyone, can I say this respectfully, anyone can hand food to anyone. You can be a complete unbeliever and give food to the hungry. In fact, if you're a human being, it should be something you're interested in. But if we want to change the world of the hungry, if we want to change the world of the broken, if we want to change the world of those who are trapped, actually we need more than just stuff. We need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. You sure? And I tell you, our cleverness feels like nothing when we're confronted by a problem that won't fix without power. Cancer won't fix without power. I mean, thank God for medicine. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for everything. But I'm talking now about this thing won't fix. My words won't fix it. But the power of the Holy Spirit can fix it. Yes? A person trapped in sin, the only thing that's going to fix that is a dynamic encounter with the supernatural God. Come on. Come on, are you there? And so thank God for all the stuff we do. And I absolutely love and believe in the local church. And all the stuff we do in terms of community connection and ministry and good works. The Bible says of Jesus that God anointed him to do good. So we want to do good. But it also says, and to heal all who were oppressed by the devil. I love the two things together. Jesus wasn't just good, but Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to transform his world. I want to be good, absolutely. That's bog standard. Every person in this room should want to be good. Come on. Christian or not Christian, you should want to be a good person. And be good to your neighbor and good to your world and good to your kids if you have them. But good isn't enough. Good's not enough. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so good is good, but the power of the Holy Spirit brings transformation. You with me? The power to be, the power, as it were, to be the person that God wants us to be. Yes? Yeah. The power to do, the power to give. Here's the last one, then we're going to pray. The power to go. The main reason the Holy Spirit is given is not, can I say this carefully, is not to bless me, though he does, every day. The main reason the Holy Spirit is given is to empower me to move, to go. Yeah? Now, I've been raised in a Pentecostal church. For some of you, that doesn't mean anything. For others of you, that will mean something significant. But let me just say this. Being raised in a Pentecostal church, we would often have the question about, you know, what's the sign I've been filled with the Holy Spirit? And for the Pentecostal tradition that I came from, we said, well, that the sign you're filled with the Holy Spirit, a biblical sign, is that you speak in other tongues. And I do that. I do that every day. Okay? So I believe in that, absolutely, 100%. But actually, I've moved on a wee bit from that. I still believe that tongues is probably the initial evidence or the greatest sign in terms of knowing a person has had a dynamic experience with the Holy Spirit. But actually, I've moved on just a wee bit more to say this, that if you're speaking in tongues and not going, we've missed the point of why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the church. The Holy Spirit is not just here so that I can speak in tongues, and I do, and it's really important, and we could talk all day about that because it's an amazing gift. The Holy Spirit is not just here to bless me, and he does. Wow, how blessed I am, and I could keep you here all day with that. But actually, the main reason the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2 was to move someone like me from a self-centered world to a God-centered world, to move someone like me thinking about me every day to start to think about other people, moving me from where I am to where they are. Moving me from in here to out there. That's why the Holy Spirit has come. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And listen, if we're not engaged in reaching our world, you don't need the Holy Spirit. We can run stuff. We can run organizations. We can run without the Holy Spirit. But if we want to get outside these doors and really engage with a broken world, my goodness, we find out in 5 minutes we need the Holy Spirit. When we're reaching intractable problems that just won't fix, we need the Holy Spirit. When we are confronted with an antichrist mentality, we need the Holy Spirit. When actually everything we seem to believe in is being ripped apart right in front of our face in society, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And actually the Holy Spirit has come not to make me feel good, but to move me, to empower me to reach my world. Imagine you got a call right now. Well, you wouldn't take it right now because you're enthralled in my sermon and you'd let it go to miss call, wouldn't you? But a call comes in. Hey, a benefactor has bought you a new car. There is a brand new Lexus waiting for you at the garage. Do you not like Lexuses around here? I thought, has everyone got one? Okay, I thought they were pretty cool cars, but there we are. I'll try and think of another one for another time. A Lexus, wow. Amazing. And so I rush down because someone's bought me a Lexus and it's absolutely amazing. And I get in, the smell of leather. Beautiful. That new car smell. Wow. I'm touching the steering wheel. This is going to rock and roll. Press the button and the whole thing starts to rock and roll. But actually nothing happens. Lights come on, but the engine stays dead. And the guy says to me, actually there's no petrol in it. Well, how am I going to get out of here? I don't know. But it's still a Lexus. It's cool, man. Just leave it on your drive. Come out every morning, sit in it, stroke the wheel, pretend to press the button, pretend to be stuck on the M6. Do you know, go through all the motions. Do you know, no one will... Do you know, if we did that, someone would think, you're bonkers, you're crackers. That's a £35,000-£40,000 car sitting on your driveway. That's not going anywhere. Get some petrol in it, you would say. I was watching Peter Kay's show recently, Car Share. The girl put petrol in a diesel engine. Anyone see that moment? Anyone had a moment like that? Anyone seen anyone have a moment like that? My goodness, it's terrible. But you know what? Listen. The Lexus is going nowhere without the fuel. The devil is not frightened by sexy. He's not frightened by the badge. He's not frightened by our denomination. He's not frightened by the ministry badge we wear. None of that bothers him. What he's frightened by is a group of people who love God, a group of people who know his word, and a group of people who are empowered by his spirit. Now that starts to get his attention. He will look at that Lexus all day long and think, look at them playing. In the car, bunch of Muppets. Standing there, sitting there, stroking the wheel. You Muppet, you silly, stupid person. And he will let us play in the car all day long. As long as we never put fuel in it. Once you put fuel in it, it's a different experience. Ladies and gentlemen, without the Holy Spirit, the church can be like a really expensive Lexus that looks really great. But that's all it is. God doesn't just want us to look great. He wants us to be great. He doesn't just want us to look like we know what we're doing. He wants to empower us so that actually the supernatural world starts to pay attention to what we're doing. Now, whether you accept this or not, and some of you won't, some of you will, you're not just living in a material world. You're not just a material person. You're not just physical. You're spiritual. And you're living in a supernatural world that is more real than the chair you're sitting on. Doesn't feel like that when you're going to work, but it's true. And because it doesn't feel real, we tend to think we can live in the supernatural world without the supernatural power. And when we do that, we're like the Lexus on the drive. We look good, but we're not going anywhere. God wants us to go somewhere. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. Come on, will you stand with me? Just going to ask the band if they want to come and just join us. We're just going to... I don't know where you are in your journey. You could be brand new in this building. Think, what is he talking about? What I'm talking about is the person of the Holy Spirit who you may not understand, but he understands you. Knows everything about you. Loves you. Cares for you. And actually, one of the first jobs of the Holy Spirit is he wants to bring you to Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I became a follower of Jesus at 8. And it's easy to think I just made a decision, but I didn't make a decision. I was brought to a decision. Holy Spirit literally brought me to Christ. You can't be a Christian without him. And maybe you've come here and you're searching for hope and for truth and for answers. Holy Spirit wants to take you by the hand and literally guide you to Christ and transform your life. And if that's you, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to stand with you. We've got guys here who will just help you with that process. But maybe you're a Christian here, and you know, it's like you're trying to make life work without the Holy Spirit. And I get that, because I'm a human being, and I want to be smart, clever. But sometimes here's what I've discovered: my ego, as somebody once said, edges God out. My ego sort of says, "I can do it. Leave me alone." And actually, what God wants to say to me is, "John, I love you. I created you, but sometimes you just got to let go of this, son, and let me in." And actually, where we need to get to, whatever the experience looks like, is that that's the starting point for all of us. Say, "John, I've been a Christian 30 years. This is simple." Yeah, I've been a Christian 40 years. And I have to remind myself of this truth every day. Because John Andrews wants to be boss. And when John Andrews is boss, the Holy Spirit can't help me. So where we're going to start this morning is just by opening up our hearts to the fact we need the Holy Spirit. Wherever you are in your journey, 3 minutes or 30 years, doesn't matter. We open up ourselves up to Him. Say, "Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me the power to be. Give me the power to do. Give me the power to give. Give me the power to go." And I believe that when our hearts are hungry, He responds to that. Amen?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah, I do.
Come on, why don't you just close your eyes for a minute? If you can, if you want to, raise your hands. And right now, in your own words, invite the Holy Spirit to come. Invite Him into your world. He doesn't want to stand at the top of the hill shouting at you. He wants to run beside you. Invite Him into your world. Invite Him into your world. Invite Him into your heart. You need Him. Holy Spirit, we invite You to come. Holy Spirit, we invite You to come and fill every heart in this place. Holy Spirit, we invite You to come alongside every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Holy Spirit, just as those first disciples were empowered by You 2,000 years ago, we need to be empowered by You. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and fill our lives. Holy Spirit, come and give us the power that we need. We invite You to come, Holy Spirit, in this place. We humble our hearts to You. We invite you to rule and to reign and to lead. We invite you to connect the dots for us. We invite you to help us, O God, in our world and in the world that we're trying to reach. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Holy Spirit, come in this place, that every heart would be hungry and thirsty for you, that every heart would come to a realization that we need you, that we need more of you, and that we want you. Holy Spirit, come. Kilo meshnava, Holy Spirit, come. Kilo mendo vobi eleve, Holy Spirit, come. Come on, if you can speak in a language the Holy Spirit gave you, then just speak that out right now. We're not going to hype anything up, but let's invite the Holy Spirit to come. Maybe you haven't spoke out loud in that tongue for a while. Come on, let's do it now. Well, I don't feel like it. It's nothing to do with how you feel. Just speak out. Meshno kuti eleve. Miala baba suki stebro hola baba baba suteve. Nelo stebra handara basevo do biara bere. Kiala maseko toshneve kolomiala valato do bie. Sila baba radara masoda. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come into every family. Holy Spirit, come into every marriage. Holy Spirit, come into every business. Holy Spirit, come into every body. Holy Spirit, come into every circumstance. Holy Spirit, come to every broken heart. Holy Spirit, come to every need. Holy Spirit, come, we pray. Come, we pray. We ask, Holy Spirit, that on this congregation, on individuals in this place, you will come. Yela mando se karabasando. Nella la bassi elevendo lo bieleve. Nella la la masso fondo lo baste brahanda la basso. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. Kila mendo lo bieleve. Selaba, Lord, we pray right now for those who stand in this place who are sick, whose sickness literally is intractable. We pray in the name of Jesus for the release of your power to heal the sick. Right now, Lord God, they will be made whole. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Spirit, be healed. We pray, Lord, for those in this room who are brokenhearted, who are downtrodden, who feel, as it were, depressed in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Come right now and fill their hearts. Holy Spirit, come and renew their minds. Holy Spirit, come and build them up from the inside out in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord Jesus, for those who are disappointed with life. Holy Spirit, come right now and bring hope and bring joy and bring freedom and bring blessing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for those in this room who are lost. Lord, who don't know you, who don't know Jesus as their Savior. Holy Spirit, come right now and convict of sin. Bring to righteousness and transformation. Holy Spirit, for every person in this room who faces the impossible. Holy Spirit, we pray, help us. Holy Spirit, do the impossible in us. Do the impossible through us. Do the impossible for us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yena mesh no vodi eleve darabasi eleve. Kilelemo si karabarosi eleve. Hela manda si eke beloshne. Niloshne brohuri arabarashto bohonda. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you that you have not left us as orphans. You haven't left us destitute. You haven't left us and told us to get on with it and make a fist of it. But Lord, you have given us the power, the presence, and the person of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for every person in this room that this week, this day, We will have a dynamic experience and encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that impossible situations will change. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will do something in us and through us that will literally touch and change our world. We pray that there will be a hunger in our hearts for you that isn't coming from just ourselves, but coming from a supernatural deep calling onto deep in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will draw alongside every person in this room. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will fill every life in this room. That we will have the power to be.
Yes.
That we will have the power to be in our world. That Jesus, we will have the power to give. That we will have the power to go. That Lord, we will have the power to touch our world with your anointing and with your goodness. And Lord, in the midst of the natural, we will experience the supernatural. The supernatural power of the Spirit. That Lord, we won't just offer the world what it wants, but we will give our world what it needs. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.